As soon as Christensen saw the photos, he realized why he had failed to spot the caldera. Virtually the whole park, 2.2 million acres, was caldera. The explosion had left a crater more than 40 miles across, much too huge to be perceived from anywhere at ground level. At some time in the past, Yellowstone must have blown up with a violence far beyond the scale of anything known to humans. Yellowstone, it turns out, is a supervolcano. It sits on top of an enormous hot spot, a reservoir of molten rock that rises from at least 125 miles down in the earth. The heat from the hot spot is what powers all of Yellowstone's vents, geysers, hot springs, and popping mud pots. Beneath the surface is a magma chamber that is about 45 miles across, roughly the same dimensions as the park, and about 8 miles thick at its thickest point. Imagine a pile of TNT about the size of Rhode Island and reaching 8 miles into the sky to about the height of the highest cirrus clouds, and you have some idea of what visitors to Yellowstone are shuffling around on top of. The pressure that such a pool of magma exerts on the crust above has lifted Yellowstone and about 300 miles of surrounding territory about 1,700 feet higher than they would otherwise be. If it blew, the cataclysm is pretty well beyond imagining. According to Professor Bill Maguire of University College London, you wouldn't be able to get within 1,000 kilometers of it while it was erupting. The consequences that followed would be even worse. Superplumes of the type on which Yellowstone sits are rather like martini glasses, thin on the way up, but spreading out as they near the surface to create vast bowls of unstable magma. Some of these bowls can be up to 1,200 miles across. According to theories, they don't always erupt explosively, but sometimes burst forth in a vast continuous outpouring, a flood of molten rock, such as with the Deccan Traps in India 65 million years ago. A trap, in this context, comes from a Swedish word for a type of lava. A Deccan is simply an area. These covered an area of 200,000 square miles and probably contributed to the demise of the dinosaurs. They certainly didn't help with their noxious outgassings. Superplumes may also be responsible for the rifts that cause continents to break up. Such plumes are not all that rare. There are about 30 active ones on the Earth at the moment, and they are responsible for many of the world's best-known islands and island chains. Iceland, Hawaii, the Azores, Canaries, and Galapagos archipelagos, little Pitcairn in the middle of the South Pacific, and many others. But apart from Yellowstone, they are all oceanic. No one has the faintest idea how or why Yellowstone's ended up beneath a continental plate. Only two things are certain, that the crust at Yellowstone is thin, and that the world beneath it is hot. But whether the crust is thin because of the hot spot, or whether the hot spot is there because the crust is thin, is a matter of heated, as it were, debate. The continental nature of the crust makes a huge difference to its eruptions. Where other supervolcanoes tend to bubble away steadily and in a comparatively benign fashion, Yellowstone blows explosively. It doesn't happen often, but when it does, you want to stand well back. Since its first known eruption 16.5 million years ago, it has blown up about 100 times. But the most recent three eruptions are the ones that get written about. The last eruption was 1,000 times greater than that of Mount St. Helens. The one before that was 280 times bigger. And the one before that was so big that nobody knows exactly how big it was. It was at least 2,500 times greater than St. Helens, but perhaps 8,000 times more monstrous. We have absolutely nothing to compare it to. The biggest blast in recent times was that of Krakatoa in Indonesia in August 1883, which made a bang that reverberated around the world for 9 days and made water slosh as far away as the English Channel. But if you imagine the volume of ejected material from Krakatoa as being about the size of a golf ball, then the biggest of the Yellowstone blasts would be the size of a sphere you could just about hide behind. On this scale, Mount St. Helens would be no more than a pea. The Yellowstone eruption of 2 million years ago put out enough ash to bury New York State to a depth of 67 feet, or California to a depth of 20. This was the ash that made Mike Voorhees' fossil beds in eastern Nebraska. That blast occurred in what is now Idaho, but over millions of years, at a rate of about 1 inch a year, the Earth's crust has traveled over it, so that today it is directly under northwest Wyoming. The hot spot itself stays in one place, like an acetylene torch aimed at a ceiling. In its wake, it leaves the sort of rich volcanic plains that are ideal for growing potatoes, as Idaho's farmers long ago discovered. In another 2 million years, geologists like to joke, Yellowstone will be producing French fries for McDonald's, and the people of Billings, Montana will be stepping around geysers. The ash fall from the last Yellowstone eruption covered all or parts of 19 western states, plus parts of Canada and Mexico, nearly the whole of the United States west of the Mississippi. This, bear in mind, is the breadbasket of America, an area that produces roughly half the world's cereals. And ash, it is worth remembering, is not like a big snowfall that will melt in the spring. If you wanted to grow crops again, you would have to find some place to put all the ash. It took thousands of workers 8 months to clear 1.8 billion tons of debris from the 16 acres of the World Trade Center site in New York. Imagine what it would take to clear Kansas. And that's not even to consider the climatic consequences. The last supervolcano eruption on Earth was at Toba in northern Sumatra 74,000 years ago. No one knows quite how big it was, other than that it was a whopper. Greenland ice cores show that the Toba blast was followed by at least 6 years of volcanic winter, and goodness knows how many poor growing seasons after that. The event, it is thought, may have carried humans right to the brink of extinction, reducing the global population to no more than a few thousand individuals. That means that all modern humans arose from a very small population base, which would explain our lack of genetic diversity. At all events, there is some evidence to suggest that for the next 20,000 years, the total number of people on Earth was never more than a few thousand at any time. That is, needless to say, a long time to recover from a single volcanic blast. All this was hypothetically interesting until 1973, when an odd occurrence made it suddenly momentous. Water in Yellowstone Lake, in the heart of the park, began to run over the banks at the lake's southern end, flooding a meadow, while at the opposite end of the lake the water mysteriously flowed away.